Chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Peter, of course, is writing, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read beginning with verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. Paul is writing, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." We'll stop our reading there. Now the topic this morning is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these gifts of the Holy Spirit can be categorized into three separate groups. One of those groups is the foundational gifts. And there are several foundational gifts. They are mentioned first in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, and also in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. In fact, in Ephesians 4 verse 11, we read, "He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Now, the topic of the gifts of the Spirit is an important one. It's important because the Spirit of God gives gifts to every believer. And so if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, God has given you something to do. There are many people who do nothing, but there is no believer who has nothing to do. Each one of us has a gift given to us by God to be used for the glory of God in the body of Christ. And so there were foundational gifts. The apostle is one of those foundational gifts. The apostle of Jesus were the original 12 apostles. Some will put into that category also the apostle Paul, and also James, the brother of our Lord. And some scholars will put Barnabas and possibly Silas in this category. These people who were sent out by Jesus Christ, apostles, and they had a unique ministry to lay down the foundation of the church. In their ministry, they had the authority to write scripture, authority over churches. They were people who had seen the ministry of the Lord Jesus. They were with him, and they were witnesses to his resurrection. They had seen the Lord. And they were active in the early church. And so this was a foundational gift. It is not a gift that is here today. There are also apostles of churches, that is, people mentioned in the New Testament, that were sent out by churches to do a special work. Some people might call them missionaries. They might use a different word like that and stay away from the word apostle. But these would be apostles of the churches. And so there are some that would be under that category, such as possibly Timothy, but Epaphroditus, and some suggest Apollos might be in that category, and different things. These are messengers of the churches, whereas the original apostles, along with Paul and possibly James and Barnabas and Silas, those would be apostles of Jesus Christ sent out by Jesus Christ to do a special foundational work. Then there are also the office of the prophet. The prophet was also a foundational gift. This was given to the church in the early days because the word of God was not yet complete. It was being written at the beginning of the church age. It was being written by the apostles. And so there would be prophets, and these are people who had direct revelation from God, revelation about what will happen in the future, revelation about mysteries, and the purpose of the gift was to edify or build up, to instruct the body of Christ, and it was, again, a foundational gift. The word of God is now complete. Everything that God wanted to tell us, he has told us in the word of God. And so we now have the word of God to guide us into all truth as to what it means to be saved, as to what the way of salvation is, what sanctification is, and what will happen in the future. And so these were foundational gifts given by God, given by the Spirit of God to some in the early church to lay down the foundation of the church. And then there are temporary gifts. These would be gifts that were not to be permanent, but were given to the church for particular reasons. And that those gifts include miracles, healings, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, miracles happened in three specific times in history. They happened during the time of Moses and Joshua, when there was a great amount of miracles that were performed at that time. And then in the days of Elijah and Elisha, once again, there was a great amount of miracles that were done at that time. And then during the time of Christ and the apostles, there was a great amount of miracles that was done at that time. These miracles validated the ministry and the new message that was given during those periods to people on earth. And then there was the gift of healings. Again, it was a sign gift. It was a sampling of the coming kingdom. It was a gift given to by the Holy Spirit to people. They could lay their hands and heal people. It was a temporary gift. It was not a gift meant to be for all the periods of church history. It was an authenticating sign so that we could see the signs of the apostles, the signs of God at work among those early days of the founding of the church. Now, does God do miracles today? Absolutely. Does God heal today? Absolutely. But the gift given to a person to perform these miracles or to do these healings is not a gift that is among us today. We do have an example in the Word of God of Peter. Peter laid his hands and healed, but also there were times when he prayed to God for healing and saw answers to those prayers. And today we can also pray to the Lord Jesus. We can pray to God, asking God to put his healing hand on people today. So yes, God does miracles. God does healings today, but the gift is not here in our time. And then there's the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues was first seen evident on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God filled the apostles and they went out and they preached the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all heard that message in their own tongue. So they understood it in their own language. And it seems to be that each time we read in the Word of God about the gift of tongues, it seems to be a known language of the day. The only exception, possible exception, would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, where Paul writes, "Although I speak with tongues of men and of angels." And then he goes on to say, "But have not love, I am nothing." And so the purpose of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is to tell us that if you use a gift that God has given to you and you use it without any love, then it's useless, it's pointless. Why does God give gifts to the church? Why does he give gifts to individuals? He does it for three reasons. One is to build up the body of Christ. That's the word edification. And so the specific purpose of a gift is to build up the body of Christ. And then the second is to beautify the body of Christ. That is so that we can help people be more beautiful, more Christ-like, help one another to be more beautiful just like Christ was in his character. And a third reason is to bind up the body of Christ or to unify God's people. And these gifts are given for these particular reasons. And so there was the gift of tongues. It was a temporary gift. It was authenticating sign, authenticating the message of the apostles. It was a sign to unbelieving Jews, a sign to the Jews that God was doing a work in the early days of laying down the foundations of the church. It was a sign that should have led those Jews to faith in Jesus as their Messiah. And then there's the interpretation of tongues, the supernatural ability to interpret the foreign language spoken by another was the who had the gift of tongues. Now, there's much more that could be said about these gifts, but it's not my purpose this morning. Today, I would like us to think about the gifts that are here, the permanent gifts, and there are 12 or 13 mentioned in the Word of God. Usually the list is 13. I have combined two together, and I hope you will see why in a moment, and so that there would be 12 gifts that the Spirit of God gives to people today. And all these gifts are used to build up the body of Christ, to bind the body of Christ, and to beautify the body of Christ. Each one of us has something to do. And so the first of these 12 gifts is the gift of evangelists. It's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. We already read that verse. An evangelist is one who is burdened for the lost. It involves proclaiming the good news, proclaiming a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, each one of us who are believers has a responsibility to evangelize, to preach the gospel, to share it, to tell other people about the good news that you can be saved from sin. Each one of us has that responsibility. But God gifts certain individuals with the gift of evangelism. And a person with a gift of evangelism will see people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and it will be quite evident that they have this gift of evangelism. I often cite a man in Poland who I know very well, a missionary who has a gift of evangelism. And one time he picked me up from the airport and he took me to the mall to get some ice cream. His wife apparently didn't want me at the house just yet. And so we went out to get some ice cream, and as we were getting the ice cream, this man was engaged in conversation with the person selling the ice cream. And before he had exchanged the money to get the ice cream, he was already fully engaged in sharing the gospel with the lady behind the counter. And it was all very natural. It was all something that wasn't forced or something that wasn't pushed. He is a man that has the gift of evangelism. All of us have the responsibility to evangelize. But there are some that God particularly gifts so that the body of Christ can be built up and can expand and other people reach for Jesus Christ. Then there is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, the gift of pastor. And so again, we can read the verse in Ephesians 4:11. Now he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And so a pastor is a gift. It is not a position. It is a gift. It is not an office. It is a gift. It is often a gift that elders will have, but not all elders will have the gift of pastoring. It is a gift that perhaps someone in an assembly has who's not an elder at all. A pastor is someone who cares for people in the assembly. There are people who will reach out and listen to people who have burdens. And there is a great need in our generation to listen to people who are hurting, listen to people who have needs, and to just be a voice of contact, to listen and to give advice and to share and to help them in their walk with the Lord. It is often something that is missing among God's people, and yet it is a gift given to us by God, and it is given to the local church to build up the body of Christ. And then there is the gift of teacher, which was also mentioned in Ephesians 4:11. It's mentioned in other verses, Romans chapter 12 and verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12:28, as well as in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians verse 26. The person who has the gift of teaching is someone who has the ability to communicate biblical truths in a way that people can grasp and understand. Now, each of these gifts that I've mentioned so far, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, they are given to the church, to the body of Christ, people who have special abilities to do these things, but all of us have the responsibility to teach the word of God, to care for one another as a pastor would care for one another, and to evangelize, to tell people about Jesus Christ. Each one of us need to care for the body of Christ. And so there are ways, perhaps, that you can do this that others cannot. Perhaps you can reach an individual that another person cannot. And so these things are given to the church in order to build up the body of Christ. Then there is the gift of service or the gift of helps. And this is where I've combined two gifts together. The gift of service is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 7. And so if we start in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 6, we read, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And so there are a bunch of gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. One of them is the gift of ministering or the gift of service. It is also mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. But here the word is used helps. And so in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, we read that God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and a variety of tongues. And so there you have the gift of helps. Well, as I thought about the gift of service and the gift of helps, it's pretty difficult to distinguish, at least for myself, between the two things. And so I think that these two gifts are one and the same. It is ministering or serving or helping believers that are in need. We have an example of that in Acts chapter 19, when Timothy and Erastus served Paul when Paul was in Ephesus. We also have an example of it in the Apostle Paul himself. He went around collecting a monetary gift to send to the, or to bring to the poor people, the poor believers in the Jerusalem assembly. And this was something that was a burden for him to do. He wanted to help the believers who were in great need. And so there are several examples of people who had the gift of service and the gift of helps. The Hebrew believers in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, they displayed acts of kindness, and this was noted in the Word of God. So this gift is a gift where a person is particularly given to help believers in need, whether it be the poor, the sick, the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the traveler, or whatever it might be. Now, once again, each of us should be serving one another. Each of us should be helping one another. But there are some people who God gifts particularly for this particular service in the body of Christ. And it is it's a very important service to the body of Christ. And then there is the gift of encouragement or the gift of motivating or exhortation. It's one and the same, encouragement. And we find it in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, where we read, Paul says, he who exhorts in exhortation. And so this is the gift of encouragement. That is saying or doing something that is going to get other people to act. That is, Barnabas is a great example. He was an encourager. And wherever he went, he encouraged people in their service for the Lord. And so he's known and remembered for his encouraging ministry. In Jude, verse 3, the writer writes that we are to contend or strive earnestly for the faith that was once for all time delivered to the saints. In the book of Jude, verse 3, we have an encouragement to strive earnestly for the faith that was once for all given, delivered to the saints. In a day where many people are abandoning the Word of God, are abandoning the principles of the Word of God, and are leaving doctrines of the faith, this is a time when we need to be encouraged, and we need men and women who would be encouraging others to do great things for God and to carry on in the doctrines of the Christian faith. Every one of us has a responsibility to encourage one another, but there will be some who are particularly gifted in this area of encouragement. They have been given the gift of encouragement. And then there is the gift of faith. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, where it is mentioned to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, all of us have faith. We have saving faith. You cannot be saved if you do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believing that, you can have life in his name. So all believers have saving faith. And all believers must live lives of faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. It is the responsibility of all believers to live lives of faith. We trust God for our provisions. We trust God for our very lives, for our health, for guidance, for direction. And in our salvation from sin, well, salvation happens in a moment. But the rest of our lives, we are being sanctified and we are being delivered from the power of sin and learning what it means to be sanctified. So all believers are to live lives of faith. But there are some who have the gift of faith. When something needs to be done, they believe God will do it through them, even if it looks impossible. Faith is seen in unusual deeds of trust. Stephen, in Acts 6 and verse 5, was a man who was full of faith. We often think about examples in history of people like George Mueller and Hudson Taylor as examples of people who had such faith. Faith to believe that God can do the impossible. But you know, those examples are starting to get old. Where are the men and women of faith today? To believe that God can do in our day what seems to be impossible. The Spirit of God gives gifts to the church. Each one of these that I have mentioned so far are a gift that God gives to men and women in the church to build up the body of Christ, to edify, to bind the body of Christ, to unify God's people, and to beautify the body of Christ. And then there is the gift of discerning spirits. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. And so there we read, once again, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So discerning spirits is the ability to distinguish between spirits. This would be the to determine in the early part of the church during the first century when the church was being founded. The word of God was not yet complete. And when the word of God was not yet complete, there were prophets. And they would speak the word of God. How would one know for sure whether the word that was spoken was of God or of a different spirit? And so God gave the gift of discerning of spirits. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, we are told that we are to test the spirits. Because there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. There are many false teachers in this world. There is deception all around us. And so God gives people the ability to discern between spirits. Now, all of us should learn how to discern between spirits. That is, we all should know whether something is of God or not. How are we going to know whether something is of God or not? Well, we need to know the Word of God, because everything that God wanted to tell us is found in the Word of God. And if someone comes in the name of Christ and says something that is contrary to the Word of God, that is something that every believer should be able to pick up on very, very quickly. I remember a time, once again, when we were living in Poland, we had an evangelism time, a gospel meeting in our home. And we invited people from the community to come to our home, and we had a service where I preached the gospel. Living two houses down from us was the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the pastor of that church invited himself to the gospel meeting. He wanted to get to know the young people in our meeting. He had his eye on them. We had many young people at the time. So he invited himself to the gospel meeting. He also invited others unknown to us. And so on that particular day, there were many people in our home. Many. It was a very crowded home. People that I did not know, and they were sitting all throughout the audience pretending not to know each other. We later found out, or realized that they were all Seventh-day Adventists from around Poland, different places. Even a doctor of the church was there sitting in the audience. I didn't know this at the time, and I remember right before the meeting was to start, where I was to preach the gospel, I had a gut-wrenching feeling in my stomach that I could not understand why it was there. Something was not right, and I couldn't understand what it was. It wasn't until later that I realized that it was these people that were planted in the audience. A few days later, the pastor of that church met with me and said, "See, we can work together. We all believe the same thing." And I put on the table on that particular day the list of the teachings of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I said, "I know what you believe." And he got quiet. Needless to say, we could not work together. It wasn't going to happen. And so discerning of spirits is something that we all should be able to do, but God gives some a unique ability to see that something is of God or is not of God. Then there is the gift of showing mercy. This is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, where it says, "He who shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness." Now, once again, we are all to show mercy to one another. We're to feel compassion and pity, helping the poor, the sick, the troubled, the suffering. Jesus Christ said on the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy." And I often think about that verse in my own life as I travel through life. And God says, if you show mercy, you'll receive mercy as well. So we're all to be merciful to one another. But there are some believers who have the gift of showing mercy, and they are given to the church to build up the body of Christ, to bind the body of Christ, and to unify and beautify the body of Christ. Then there's the gift of giving. It's found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. The gift of giving, it says in Romans 12:8, he who gives, do it with liberality. Now, all of us, once again, have a responsibility to give. And this is not always just talking about money. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 talks about giving your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Each one of us are to give our lives to the Lord. Not 10% of our hearts, not 10% of our time, not 10% of our energy, but all ourselves we are to give to the Lord. This is not for a special group of people. This is for the people of God. We are to give ourselves to God. You're here, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If you are a genuine believer, you have been redeemed with the grace and the mercy of God. He has saved you from sin. And in gratitude, we are to give our lives to Him and to give of the things that He has given to us. We are to share them with one another. But there are some people who have the gift of giving, and they do it with cheerfulness, and they have the desire and the willingness to share material blessings with others. Paul particularly talks about the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and tells them how encouraged he was by their giving. And so we are to give with liberality, but there are some believers who have the gift of giving. And then there is the gift of administration or the gift of leadership. This is also found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, where we read at the end of that verse about the gift of administrations. We also read about this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, where we read, "He who leads, do it with diligence." And so there is the gift of administration or leadership. This is someone who has the ability to lead, to rule, to preside over. It is used often of elders in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, as well as 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. And so all of us are to learn how to lead the people of God. But there are some who are particularly gifted in this area of leadership. Then there is the gift of wisdom. It is also found in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 12. So there is the gift of wisdom. This is the ability to take the knowledge that one has and to use it in a very practical way, to make known the purposes of God in a particular situation. Spiritual wisdom. Once again, we are all to learn how to take knowledge and use it in a practical way. We are all to be wise as we walk in this world. We are to be show the wisdom of God through our lives. But there are some that have the gift of wisdom, and they are to exercise that gift in the body of Christ. Then there is the gift of knowledge. This is the last of the gifts. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8. This is the ability to understand the scriptures. This gift is something that certain people have and other people do not have. But all of us are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are to read the Word of God. All of us are to grow in our understanding of the Word of God. But there are some people who are particularly knowledgeable about the Word of God. They aren't necessarily teachers, but they are knowledgeable about the Word of God. Sometimes after I am done speaking and I'm in a particular audience, a person will come to me and share something which I did not know about. A person who does not have the gift of teaching, but a person whose knowledge is really amazing, someone I enjoy talking to. I don't know many people with that. I know a few. There are people who have the gift of knowledge. Now, all these 12 gifts that I have mentioned, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, service or helps, gift of encouragement, the gift of faith, the gift of discerning spirits, showing mercy, the gift of giving, the gift of administration or leadership, the gift of wisdom, and the gift of knowledge. These gifts are given to the body of Christ. Each one of us are to exercise our gift. Now, maybe you don't know what your gift is. Some people get all strung up onto trying to figure out what your gift is. We don't need to figure it out in that way. What can you do here in the body of Christ? What's not being done that you can do? How can you help to build up the body of Christ? How can you help beautify the body of Christ? How can you unify God's people? What can you do to contribute to the body of Christ? Well, if you know of something that you can do, then you should do it. And as you do it, you and others will start to see what particular gift that God has given you the ability to do. There are many people who do nothing, but there is no one who has nothing to do. Each one of us has been given a gift by God for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. Where are the evangelists in our generation? Where are those that are concerned about the lives of people and are able to have pastoral care over one another? Where are those that are caring and ministering to people in the body of Christ? Are you familiar with the lives of the people in your congregation? Do you know who is hurting and why they are hurting? And can you minister to them in such a way that you can encourage them in their walk with the Lord? So often, people are hurting, and they have no one to talk to. Here we are a body of believers, and we are to help one another so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the gifts. And if we were to exercise our gifts and develop our gifts, because you see, gifts are something that need to be developed. You don't become a teacher overnight. You don't have all the skills, if I could use that word, to do pastoral ministry or to serve God's people. Sometimes we need to learn things along the way, and so we are to develop our gift. And as we get busy serving the Lord in the local congregation where we are, then the Lord will show us what our gift is, and we can be used greatly for the Lord to build up the body of Christ, to bind up the body of Christ, that is to unify them and to beautify the body of Christ so that each one of us would have a beautiful character. Let's pray. Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would bless your word. We pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would help us understand that it is your desire to use your people to serve one another, to glorify your name on earth, to be busy doing work for you. And we pray that you would help us all to understand how we can fit into that purpose and that plan, so that we would not just be people who go to a church meeting, but we would be people who would be active in the local assembly, and that we would be used in a great way in our generation. We pray, Father, that we would be known as people who encourage your people, and that we would not be known as people who are just idle. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to recognize that the priesthood of all believers means that we have a job to do. And so we pray that your blessing would be on your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen.